Bring Christian greetings to each one this morning. Thank the Lord for a beautiful new day that He's given us with to worship Him. I'd like to look over into Hebrews and if I start reading the first verse, if you know what chapter it is, say it or finish the verse for me. I think probably most of you will catch it, but the first one, just say the chapter or the verse. Wherefore, seeing we... Okay, Hebrews 12, that's a very familiar verse, a very wonderful verse. Hebrews 12, and starting with the very first verse there. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted to blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I believe we'll stop right there. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, this morning we're so thankful for the privilege of being able to live our lives for Thee. We thank Thee for Thy faithfulness to us. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou dost not just allow us to go on and fall into pitfalls and traps of the enemy. But we're thankful, dear Father, that Thou dost speak to us and deal with us and show us the way. We pray that Thou will help us, Lord, today, that we might listen to Thy holy word, and that it might sink deep into our hearts, and that it might bring forth fruit unto everlasting life. We just ask that Thou would give us guidance and strength today to do that which will bring glory to Thy name. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was thinking about this chapter, a song kept running through my mind this morning. I love singing, and I love the songs of Zion. I love the old hymns. I like the scripture speaks of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I like them all. I like the variety. This one, I don't know if you've ever heard it or not, but this is the way it goes. Oh, the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, the bliss the blood washed know. Oh, the peace akin to heaven where the healing waters flow. Now with Jesus crucified, at his feet I'm resting low. Let me evermore abide where the healing waters flow. Oh, this precious, perfect love, how it keeps the heart aglow, streaming from the fount above where the healing waters flow. Oh, to lean on Jesus' breast while the tempests come and go, here is blessed peace and rest where the healing waters flow. Cleansed from every sin and stain, whiter than the driven snow, now I sing my sweet refrain where the healing waters flow. The chorus goes this way. Where the healing waters flow, where the healing waters flow, where the joy celestial glow, oh, there's peace and rest and love where the healing waters flow. I'll ask you a strange question this morning. And you can answer it by a raised hand if you want to. How many of you have ever had a spiritual spanking? Or do you know what I mean? Okay. Probably if I asked you, wasn't pleasant, you'd probably respond just like a child would if they received a spanking that was of the physical sort. No, it wasn't pleasant. But it brings about the right results. And in our spiritual life, in this 12th chapter of Hebrews, this scripture says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There again, if I would ask you, as far as if you sat down and think about your spiritual life, is there anything that you feel like that is maybe weighting you down somewhat, or that you can't be as effective spiritually as what you should be? Or is there anything that you realize that where you've got a weakness here or a tendency that you've been working on, but you feel like that there's still a need? We probably could all of us raise our hands. And probably a lot of the things that would maybe hinder us or hold us down spiritually are maybe a lot the very same, and yet probably different in a lot of our lives because we're made up differently. And the enemy realizes that we're made up differently. He's sort of like a trapper that goes out and he wants to set his trap for everyone that is on the narrow way. He'd like for us to be enticed out of the narrow way. He'd like for us to be enticed to something where we shouldn't be. And so he'll look our lives all over and search our lives all out. And then he'll see if he finds a weak place. He'll cleverly, up at the store at Byler's, we have some of these steel traps that are for sale. They don't appeal to me too much. Some of the young fellas here enjoy seeing what they can catch in them. And they probably get very clever at thinking, where is that animal going to go? And what is going to entice him to go there? What is it that smell that he's going to catch that takes him off of his main route and pulls him over here, and he's trying to find out where that smell is that it smells so good. Or he sees something. I know that they've told me that to try to catch a hawk, that they would sometimes take the carcass of a chicken or part of it and put it in a tree, and they would hide among those feathers a trap. And the old hawk sailing around can see all around for miles and miles, and he spots that, and it looks like something good. And, you know, when something entices us, we'd better check it out. We better be careful. And so he comes in a little lower and a little lower and checks it all. Oh, it looks like a chicken. And it's sitting up there in the tree. It's roosting there. And I'll slip in, and so here it is. And then all of a sudden he's in, and he thinks he has it. But it has him. And there he is. He, all of a sudden, instead of flying off with whatever he thought was so good and delicious, he is flopping and flying and trying to fly and can't go, and this thing's holding him down. He's there. He's a captive. He can't get away. It looks so good. It looked good, and it even looks like the real thing. It's got the chicken feathers. It is a chicken. But there was something hidden among those feathers that was ready to grab him. And unfortunately, we have a foe to face, every one of us do, every single day, that every single day is all along the way. He's hiding those traps. He's setting those snares. I've seen pictures in the book where that talked about how the Indians would snare wolves, and how that they would pull something down over the path, and where the wolf would come, and they would have a loop, and when the thing went through it, it would trip something, and this snare would tighten up around the wolf and jerk him up off the ground where he couldn't go anywhere. This strong, powerful, cunning wolf all of a sudden is hanging in the air and can't do a thing. He's helpless as can be. He's helpless to whatever comes along that wants to have him. And, you know, sometimes we are sort of interested by something, or somebody says something that gets our attention. And, you know, we can get over and begin to look at something that we're wondering about, and the next thing we know, that thing, it's got us just like that. We go over a certain point of interest, and it seems like we can't get away from it. It's just grabbed us like that. And it's very dangerous to get on the devil's territory. That's why we try to tell our young people and everybody, you know, stay away from the places, the bowling alleys, the pool halls. We wouldn't go there, would we? Don't even need to talk about that kind of thing. All of those things, but some things that maybe don't seem so dangerous, we may have a tendency to let that thing sort of pull us that way. And he said here, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. The flesh would like to become involved. Someone mentioned this morning about, well, you know, why do we have to go to Sunday evening service? Why do we have to go to prayer meeting? Why do I have to get up so early for my devotions? The flesh is pulling us to just take the easy way out. Take the way out where you can just lay back and sleep and pull the covers up a little more, and I'll quote some verses on the way to work. And, you know, there's all kinds of ways to take the easy way out. But some of these things can be weights to us. It's just so hard to get the family together to have family worship, that I just sort of despair. And so We just miss it now and then. And is it important? Some of these weights can weigh us down spiritually and weigh our families down spiritually. But this scripture said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And then we need to look at Jesus as our example, the one who is the author and the finisher of our course, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and he despised the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And lest we are wearied and faint in our own minds, he says, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Did you ever feel that way? That I'm just tired of keep saying things. I it seems like I have to just say it and say it over again. But you know, the scripture says, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And that's the way children learn, and that's the way we big children learn too, is the Lord, he deals with us, and he deals with us, and he keeps dealing with us because he loves us and because he's concerned about us. And how heavy it is when we all of a sudden realize that something is really weighting me down spiritually. This thing is really hindering me. And maybe it's something that we wouldn't even consider this a sin, but it seems like it's something that's hindering me. For instance, I'll just give you a little something in my own life. When I get up and get around, a lot of times I see my phone laying there, and I wonder, well, what's new happening in the world today? What's taking place? I'm curious about the news. I'm curious about what's happening today and what's new. And sometimes the Lord speaks, you know, I thought, maybe I just need to leave that out of my mind until I take time to sit down and read my Bible and have time to pray and put first things first. But I can't read my Bible right now anyway. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And if I just flip this thing on and look at it, and it won't take me a bit of a moment to read just the interesting parts, and if there's anything interesting, then when I can really sit down and concentrate on my Bible, I'll do that. So I'm figuring this thing out. And so I get my phone and I'll flip it, and this is interesting. And I was shaving, and all of a sudden I become involved and engrossed in this, and I go down further in it, and I read a little bit more, and these things start whizzing through my mind. I start thinking about them, and I feel a little bit of sort of a heaviness, because I think the Lord laid his finger on me and wants me to put first things first. Now, it's not a sin for me to look and see what's happening in the world, is it? But could it be a weight to me? And so the next day, the same temptation comes. If I went ahead and did it the one day, maybe it's easier to do it the next day. And I don't know what it is in your life that maybe the Lord says, you'd just be better without this. Or you'd be better if you'd do it a little different way. Maybe the song that you sang, did you have a little question about that? Did you just wonder if that pleased the Lord? Did you go ahead and sing it anyway? Some of these things can weigh us down to where when we get down to pray, we have a hard time of praying. And all he's saying here, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience this race, doing like Jesus, being able to endure the cross, allowing the flesh to be crucified, what the flesh would like to draw us aside and like to weight us down and get us stuck in that steel trap, so to speak, when we need to be flying up in the sky. Here we are, stuck in that tree, trying to get that juicy morsel, but we couldn't get a hold of, and now all of a sudden we're caught. But may the Lord help us to steer clear of those temptations, those things that the enemy would like to bog us down with and cause to be a hindrance in our life. And then we can sing with the songwriter, "Oh, the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, the bliss the blood washed snow." And I had just had to think how that sometimes if I feel that I've just grown a little lazy spiritually, something's happened like that, and I feel like that I need to get things lined out, what a joy it is. I realize that sometimes the Lord has to give us a spiritual spanking. And sometimes that's what it is that gets our attention, that this is not the way to go. This is a thing that's going to take us the wrong way. But what a joy it is, even if I have to have a spiritual correction or spanking, to know that's behind me. I've made up my mind. That's a hindrance to me. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to follow that way. I'm going all the way with the Lord. I want to be clear before Him. And what a peace and what a joy there is as we walk in the light. It's these little foxes sometimes that chew away and nibble at the vine and cause the sap to be cut off. We've got to keep in contact with the Lord. If we don't, all we've got is a form of godliness without any power thereof. May the Lord help us this morning. Let's kneel in prayer.